This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Wished upon a star, and all your hopes seem so far. Well, here's a wish that will come true, and all these wishes are just for you. I wish I knew how to feel to be free. Yes, sirree. I wish I could break all of these chains. Oh, yes, that are really cold and mean. Everybody could see, then they'd know,
then they'd know.
Every man in this world
should be free.
Listen, I wish I could give all the love that I have in my heart right now today. I wish that I could help someone who was sadly somewhere going astray. And the secret to peace. I give this to every leader of the world. And then I wish I had the secret of love. For I'd share this with every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl.
Oh, I wish I could fly.
Fly
like a bird up in the sky. And then wake up one morning to find out for myself. Oh, don't even have to die. Listen, I'd fly if I could fly,
yes,
to the sun and then down to the deep blue sea. And then I'd
sing, yes, I'd sing about freedom.
I want everybody to come sing along with me. Let me hear you just sing it one time. Let me hear you say,
I'd sing, yes, I'd sing.
Come on now.
And I'd sing, sure, I'd sing about love now.
Oh, yes, yeah, Solomon Burke. I wish I could, well, do a lot of things. Anyway, it's Sunday morning, and it's Sunday morning here on K108. Time again for the Carol Cox Show. We got Carol Cox in the studio with us.
All righty. Good morning. You just didn't want to stop playing Solomon Burke, huh?
Yeah.
Over here, toe tapping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here looking out over the Poly, and man, is it spectacular. I mean, the Poly lookout, for you that are over in the other states, it's a beautiful day here. You should come and visit us. It's absolutely wonderful. And I know a lot of you right now are shoveling snow or getting ready to shovel snow. But anyway, we'll be thinking about you back there. And thanks for the many, many thousands of you who have written and read the podcast or listened to the podcast and sent your comments in. I really appreciate it. And it means that the word is getting out one way or the other. So I can't say any more. Then thank you, and I hope to continue to just, I have comments and my opinions, but you can bet I will provide you the facts as I get them and as I know them. And you can go today at carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and you can view older topics and subjects as well as today's topics and subjects. And speaking of today, had a number of requests. I had mentioned last week of about a case in Mississippi involving the Humane Society of the United States and some of the questionable behavior that people were raising that was on the part of the HSUS. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on it, but real briefly, I said that there were in Mississippi, I had inquired about, over the air here, about a case involving a possible immigrant in Mississippi relating to cockfighting. Now, personally, so that we clear the record, I'm opposed to cockfighting. I'm opposed to dogfighting and anything. But I'm also one of those people who believe that while we can seek out and prosecute those that do these things, we have to respect their civil rights, no matter what it is we're doing. And if it's a murder, we still have to protect the people's rights. And in this case, and as I had briefly inquired over the air, fortunately, someone actually sent me from the Humane Society of the United States internally, and I won't mention any names or the sources that provided this information, but it's actually documents that from the Humane Society of the U.S., and one speaks of the deployment. And basically, in checking backwards, found out that I spoke to a sheriff, Mr. Bill Rasko, and must say he was reluctant to talk to me, but I then get a later call from one of his staff members who apparently had worked out here in Honolulu, retired, and was a bit helpful, but I haven't heard back from them. But what I did get from the newspapers was that agents of the Humane Society, and keep in mind this term, agents of the Humane Society of the United States, and the DeSoto County deputy seized 225 fighting cocks and breeding chickens Friday in a raid on a house near Olive Branch. 95 hens and chicks seized from the property on their way to sanctuaries in Virginia. Due to the high levels of aggression now, fighting cocks were humanely euthanized at the location. So what are they rescuing these animals from? If this gentleman, Arnolfo Hernandez, was supposed to be abusing these animals and killing them or what have you, subjecting them to death and inhumane treatment, why would the agents from the Humane Society of the United States go in with the DeSoto County Sheriff Department, seize the animals? And by the way, you'll hear they didn't seize them. They took the animals, and in turn, as employees and others working at that site at that time described the situation as a strong-arm tactic that was employed, and the utterance of, if you don't give these animals up to us, relinquish them to us, we then will seek to have you deported. And so, strong-arm tactics. Now, the Humane Society of the U.S. says that agents, due to the high levels of aggression, fighting cocks were humanely euthanized at the location. The birds are bred and trained to fight, and the birds had their combs cut off and the spurs sharpened or cut off, all typical of fighting operations. Well, first of all, it's not illegal to possess chickens. If it was, Kentucky Fried Chicken would be out of business. And secondly, Sheriff Bill Rasko said three dogs, pit bulls, and two off-breed dogs were also seized, but no arrests were made. But they gave this gentleman a $100 ticket, apparently. And you're going to be shocked and astounded by what I have found. And I said I was going to do a show later on this, but I thought it was important. I got emails from people asking, well, are you going to tell us more about this? Now, this is Wayne Pacell, who was there at the scene, the CEO of the Humane Society. He was there in Mississippi, along with the film crew. And some of you may have heard, I've talked about this before, how they behave out here, filming and going back, putting on a website, making themselves look good, and voila, you and I send money. Well, nothing wrong with that, and I hope that we all continue to donate to our favorable humane organizations and animal care foundations or whatever they are, but we must hold their feet to the fire when it comes to ethics and civil rights and constitutional rights. To go in, as the employee described, to use strong arm tactics and to speak and suggest that this gentleman would be deported or having immigrations to come to him is absolutely wrong. But Wayne Pacelle says, here's a quote, "The collaborative action with the Humane Society of the United States and the DeSoto County Sheriff Department successfully put this suspected cockfighter out of business," Humane Society President Wayne Pacelle said, end quote. Now, a suspected, so when do we start arresting people and putting them out of business because they're suspected? I mean, do we put all gun shops out of business? Because guns are used in crimes to kill people. So we suspect that some of these guns that haven't been sold are on the shelf and polished up and shined and got ammunition waiting to be sold along with them. But instead of waiting till someone gets shot, we go in and seize the animals and the guns and melt them down, and we have prevented a suspected gun seller or a suspected murder from occurring. Constitutionally, it stinks. And again, keep in mind this term agents, and the media has bought into this, and folks, you and I sit ripened to be plucked to simply have our rights just trounced on, because this sheriff, for example, he invited in, and in speaking with him, I asked him, did they work with you on this case, and how long, and when did they start working? Was it few days, several days, or an extended period? He said, well, they were working with us. Well, the shame of it is none of that was true. Absolutely none of it. And here's what transpired, and here's how we got there. I told you Wayne Pacelle was there. I told you that an ABC News crew was there. And the whole intent was, and this is straight from Humane Society of the United States documents, this is for... Originally, they were deployed, and the deployment was for Vardaman, Mississippi Puppy Mill. So they were there in town in Mississippi to film and to raid, and underscore raid, a puppy mill. So they deployed to Oxford, Mississippi to coordinate preparation. And this letter is 12109. So the people present, Wayne Pacelle, Bull Archer, Chad Cisneros, Jordan Crump, Laura Bevins. Operational objective, deploy to Oxford, Mississippi to coordinate preparation of raid on suspected puppy mill in Vardaman, Mississippi. Set up an emergency shelter at designated locations in Oxford. That's great. I mean, that shows professionalism and good strategy. But provide tactical support during the raid on the suspected puppy mill. So that was what they were there for, in conjunction with the United Animal Nations and or other group operating an emergency animal shelter to hold any animals seized in the above raid until disposition is obtained. Well, that was the 21st, and here is a situation developed. Apparently, they couldn't get the search warrant, and they went back to the property to confirm now, to re-update their evidence. But they didn't have a search warrant. So you figure that out. How did they get back on the property? If they didn't have a search warrant, how did they go back? Well, they may have used a covert person, but nonetheless is... So the action plan was awaiting confirmation from Davis that search warrant has been signed for service. Upon the issuance, warrant will be served and the ES and the HSUS will be deployed to property to assist the removal of transport of dogs and evidence collection. The emergency shelter will begin to set up. Now, here's this word, demobilization. Current demobilization plans call for ES and HSUS personnel to be demobilized on 12509. Well, something went wrong. And what went wrong was someone allegedly tipped off the suspect, and the suspect cleaned it up, and that's why they couldn't perform the search warrant or invoke it or go and serve it. But here's the problem. Now, remember, they had a... Wayne Pacelle, the CEO, who generally don't go on all of these missions, but this occasion he had a film crew. And so they needed something. they needed something to satisfy the hunger of the cameras and the news people that were there. Because, you see, their strategy is they go, they seize it, they take it, and they, voila, look, world, what we've done, send money. Well, they didn't have anything, and I have the documentation that speaks of this, but here's another. Now, here, in an instant, on the 23rd, they immediately pop up and frantically look for something else to feed the hunger and the thirst of those cameras, because, you know, they got to get it out there. So what did they do? They went and sought out through the sheriff department and found Mr. Arnolfo Hernandez, who raised cocks. And they say they're cock fighters or fighting cocks. And what happened was, the operation, initial demobilization occurred at beginning of operation period, and this is speaking to the other one that they had to abandon. Met with agents of the DeSoto County, Mississippi Sheriff at 9 o'clock hours, 0900 hours this date, and proceeded a convoy to 13500 Quit Road, Byhalia, Mississippi. On arrival, Sheriff's Office made contact with property owner Nolfo Hernandez initially was refusing to surrender foul, but later agreed to. Now, if you had a search warrant, generally that's what you're there for. You would go there and you look at and you seize the animals, and the search warrant would allow you that, or you made a mistake and didn't get it covered. So why would you have to, as they say here, so and subsequently left the property? They had to encourage him, and in this encouragement, they threatened him. And this is per people that were there directly on the scene who I've spoken with. They then, a total of 134 roosters were euthanized on site and turned over to Busby for disposal. Hens and chicks were then impounded and prepared for transport. And it goes on. So that all took place. So the cameras were satisfied. They quenched their thirst. The media was satisfied. And not yet once did the media ask them, are you really agents? Are you really here under the color of law? What are those badges that you have around your neck? The sheriff didn't ask, what are those badges? Are you really law enforcement people? So if you can understand why in my voice you hear such horror and terror, hopefully I'm projecting that, is that they have duped the sheriff department, or the sheriff department lends itself, and this is duplicated throughout the nation now in many situations, that they actually go, the HSUS go, serve themselves up. And I don't know now if they've changed that pattern. We've looked at the websites and the Facebooks, and we do see that they have removed the badges. But it's a bit too late. The damage is done, and we need to have answers. And hopefully, what we're doing here locally is to approach our legislators. And so how does this play locally? Now, keep in mind now, it was the Hawaiian Humane Society who engaged with Mr. Payne, engaged with the HSUS here to film, surreptitiously tape, record, and document what was going on in his property, while they're claiming there are no violations, no reason for investigation, no complaints, and they didn't have a search warrant. But yet, we saw the filming, and we also saw, and I have a draft copy of their press release that they sent out, saying that we have good footage for B-roll, meaning that for the news stations and what have you. And the news stations locally here licked it up like a thirsty puppy. I've never seen anything like it. We've lost the ability to screen and to ask the hard-hitting questions. I mean, you, Joe Blow, and Mary Lou Sue, or whoever, would ask. If a person showed up and represented themselves as an officer, you would probably, the first thing, say, well, could I see some badge? But in this case, the media bites hook, line, and sinker, and you saw it on TV, and yet, this is a hoarding situation, this is a violation, and yet the media never ask a single question. Are you really law enforcement people? Now, one down on you, media, and I noticed in this whole coverage in the newspapers and all, they tiptoed around the real issue. They wanted to stick to abuse and bad treatment of the animals and what have you, but never, while projecting and putting on screen these people from HSUS with their badges, giving you, the general public, the impression that these are agents from the HSUS. The badges don't even say anything about law enforcement. So it reminds me of that show called Punked. To be polite, I'd say the media here, both written and the film or TV and what have you, were punked. Guys walked in here with fake badges on, fake badges, and proceeded to trounce Mr. Payne's rights. And you might wonder, why should I be concerned? Well, the reason you should be concerned, as I speak to you right now, I have possession of emails where the Hawaiian Humane Society and the HSUS of the United States, right here with its representative, Inga Gibson, is orchestrating and writing and authoring a bill to speak to the tethering, the caging of animals, or dogs, per se, more specifically. Do we need, and I'll ask you this question, do we need Inga Gibson, do we need the Hawaiian Humane Society to explain their actions and come within the fold and be responsible and is obligated to explain why they conducted themselves in such a manner, why they lent themselves to showing up with fake badges, impersonating a law enforcement officer? We should not, in my opinion, should say to them, you keep your laws, and it is our intent, as I said, we'll be going to the legislators, and hopefully we can schedule some hearings, because someone out there just don't want to touch this subject, but it's serious. They have violated the rights, and there are many instances right here in this town where the rights of people, free citizens who own animals, have simply had their rights carved up. And you would think this Gestapo tactics, the mafioso, or the stormtroopers coming in, and they tell you, though, that, oh, wow, we love these animals, and we got to protect them. In my opinion, and I believe that we need stronger laws, we need more sensible laws, and we need to address some of the cruel activities and behavior that are occurring within the animal kingdom here in Hawaii. But what we need someone that's has integrity, someone can demonstrate that they respect the rights of humans as well as the rights of animals. And it can be done. So, for you out there who think that you're going to quietly write up this law and author it and go before the legislators, I'm going to warn you now, you have a fight on your hand. The citizen and myself, I will assure you, if I led an army of one, you will be taken to task. We cannot allow you to orchestrate and author laws while you have demonstrated that you are behaving like stormtroopers and the mafiosa and what have you. It's wrong. But anyway, to close that out now, you heard me talk about Scotland Hazley, who's one of the top officials or the senior director of the emergency services. He was the guy who was here wearing the badges. And then you go on his Facebook. Folks, this guy, there's pictures we've gotten of him kicking indoors. Yeah. He is kicking indoors. No law enforcement authority, but he's kicking indoors. But on his Facebook, the people are just eating it up like cotton candy. But I hope that he has a lump in his throat about right now, because it's not cotton candy, Hazley. It's about the civil rights and the violations and the ability and your willingness to wear fake badges and represent yourself as law enforcement people. Can't do it. They earn their badges. They work. They have peace officer standards. They have high standards. They have standards where if you fail the test, you flunk out, you're gone. You haven't demonstrated that. But here's an email from Hazley, dated January 22nd, and back to Mississippi. Now, I've jumped around. But he says, "Hi, Laura. I have a couple of messages to you on your cell. I was trying to reach you so that you could attend the update meeting that Wayne Pacelle called this afternoon. And I believe we were told that the seizure is unfortunately not going to take place. That's a puppy mill now that fell through, as the prosecuting attorney believes that the mill owner was tipped off. They served a warrant today and found that the property was clean with few animals. Wayne, Scott Wilson, and Chad are out looking into a cockfighting operation in Mississippi. Wayne has been talking to JP about it all day and is trying to get some activity." Now, let me repeat that. He says that Wayne, Scott Wilson, and Chad are out looking into a cockfighting operation in North Mississippi. Wayne has been talking to JP about it all day and is trying to get some activity. We have not put out an official demobilization awaiting their assessment. I have verbally demobilized the folks, as the equipment would not be needed in the event of the cockfighting raid. When Scott returns with his assessment, he will put out a statement. Please call me on my cell if you need discussion." Now, imagine, the sheriff told me that they had been working on this together for a while. But in these emails and in their deployment statements, in their formal statements, you just heard me read, Wayne Pacelle was frantically, as others described it, looking for something because the other one, the puppy mill case, had fallen through. So anyway, why should we be concerned? Your civil rights. Why should we be concerned? Because there are people abroad fighting for our freedoms, and we're allowing entities such as the HSUS and the Hawaiian Humane Society to behave in a manner that calls into question, do they understand the value, the cost of free people? So, having that, we're going to take a break here for a minute, and I'll just be back and regroup, and we're going to talk about the SMAs and the rail. And this is the Carol Cox Show. You can call in 524-1080 or pick us up on a web, carol@carolcox.com. Hello.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
When your baby leaves you all alone, don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like a cry? For here I am, honey. Come on, you're crying to me. When you're all alone in your lonely room, and there's nothing but the smell of perfume, don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like a cry? Come on, come on, cry to me. Oh, nothing can be sadder than a glass of wine alone. Don't you feel like I'm crying?
Cry to me.
Don't you feel like
Solomon Burke. Don't you feel like crying? Sometimes I do, but other times I feel like just shouting and having fun like I always do. And anyway, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here in Honolulu, and I just can't tell you how excited I am to just wake up in the morning. But what I also wanted to tell you is that keep in mind when we talk about the constitutionality of things, and, you know, the Constitution is for citizens of the United States. But the problem is we don't know if Mr. Arnulfo Hernandez was a citizen or on a visa. They didn't decide that. So, but again, and if there's anyone out there from the Hispanic or Latino community that can offer me some guidance or assistance to, I'm going to be traveling to Mississippi here in the near future to go down and follow up a little more. And I think it's a little safe down there. They don't burn you anymore in the cars and do whatever, but this is absolutely wrong. So anyway, if you could, please give me a call here at 524-1080 if you have any way, or send me an email at carol@carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And if you would do that, maybe there's an organization that I can contact that could assist Mr. Arnulfo in asking some of these questions. But anyway, on another subject. We recently saw the story about the monk seal. And there on Molokai, and we saw in the papers and on TV that this animal had gone blind, and it was a problem and a threat to the public, and may pose a risk to the children. Well, as you know, Carol Cox tries to poke his nose into anything to do with animals and what have you, and I mean that in a good way. You see, this animal, as you know the history of it, KP2, was found abandoned by its mother. The mother abandoned it. They brought it in captivity. They brought it and placed it at Kaneohe Marine Base to shield it from the public. Now, this animal had problems with his eyes, and so they put it in a containment. And it stayed there for several months. Now, I just had the invite and was over at Kaneohe counting birds one day and doing some other habitat building. And I was invited to go and view the animal, this monk seal, KP2. And while there, I took some pictures, and you can see some of them on the website at carol@carolcox.com. And what you'll see is that, take a close look. Now, I didn't use a flash, and I purposely shot these pictures because I wanted to show the cloudy eyes, the retina or the cornea or whatever was clouded, showing that this animal, and I wanted to document that. So, Mr. I'll think that's Dave Schofield, who you saw on TV speaking about it, he was absolutely fuming that I had been invited there, and his argument was that the media should not be up there. The media should not be allowed to go in there. And I had briefly raised the issue to ask the question. This animal seems to be blind. Now, in 1989, we lost quite a few. At least 50 baby monk seals disappeared from the outer islands in the French Frigate Shoals areas, and they died. But in a Head Start program, a lot of them were brought here and put into captivity. And guess what? They went blind. And 12 of them were shipped out, 12 females were shipped out to San Antonio, Texas, to SeaWorld, one of those places. And that story also, I wrote a story that was in the Hawaii Fishing News back in 1999. And you'll see everything is closely related and duplicated. So the statement that I would make is we need to reevaluate who it is that we allow and what we are allowing to do be done with the monk seal population. Why? Because the monk seals are at the doorstep. In fact, they probably got 1 foot in the door. I rephrase that. of extinction. Once they're gone, it's over. No more. And imagine, we have this situation where, once again, 1999, 12 were shipped out. 2008, one was released. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to frustrate and infuriate many of you, I would say this because others that work for the agency, the National Marine Fisheries Service, NOAA, told me that they believed that they knew the animal could not survive in the wild, and they wanted to cover it up, and they allowed this animal. They took it, and if you remember back, joggle your memory, jiggle, they took this animal to an undisclosed site of Molokai, Kalapapa, and somehow this animal found its way back. And that animal, and the statement now is that animal basically is blind, and it says having problems with cataracts. But it's more than that, folks. We have an agency, and I had invited Dave Schofield in, and he said that he was going to be in California today or yesterday or whatever. I just tried to get him. You know, there's always a telephone. But anyway, he didn't want to come in. So here we are, stuck with this situation. We need to ask the question, what are they doing? Why are we losing so many monk seals? Is it the medical treatment that they're getting? Is it the antibiotics? I know that my doctors told me when they gave me antibiotics in the past that do avoid sunlight. Prevents the problem. So they feed frozen fish. Is it an iodine problem? But if you go and I wrote an article called Leaving the Islands, and all of that is documented in there. But anyway, so much for that. But keep... ask some questions rather than just digesting and swallowing it. We got some problems here with our resource management. And speaking of that, I said I'd talk about the rail. And look, there's a big problem here. Rail construction to begin by end of 2009. In an article about the rail project, it was October 23rd, the Honolulu Advertiser reported, the next opportunity for the council to pass a resolution pertaining to historic resources and preservation issues would be November 16th. That would leave the city with just 7 weeks to gain all other approvals needed to begin construction by year's end. Now, problem is, the people that's going to approve this is Mayor Hanneman and his director of the DPP. Something's terribly wrong, folks, when the agency who is proposing the work is going to approve the work. Now, I know a lot of them are hanging their hats on the fact that the governor has some signing and may reject it, but I want to alarm you and alert you that over there at the DPP, the House of Cards, and I don't mean cards and playing cards. There's a lot of cards over there. The EIS is not yet complete, the environmental impact statement, and the project is within SMA, Special Management Area. Now, we've checked the draft environmental impact statement, and don't believe that any of the SMAs are adequately identified or determine how they will play into this locating the rail. So Mayor Hanneman wants to start constructing the rail system before the end of the year. First of all, the required environmental impact statement is not complete, and I say that again, it is not complete. In addition, portions of the transit corridor are within the special management area, and a major SMA permit must be processed and approved by the city council before any construction can begin. If you go back and look at the Advertiser article, as I said, it stated that the resolution pertaining to historic resources and preservation issues. Well, they left out something, special management areas. And also, there's another thing called viewplane. You see, the question is concurrent processing of the EIS and SMA permit possible? You see, Chapter 25, Revised Ordinance of the ROH, there may be concurrent processing of required environmental procedures or disclosure documents, and the SMA major permit, section 2533C1, procedurally guidelines states that, quote, any development which has been assessed under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, or under HRS 343, and for which a negative declaration has been filed, or required as has been accepted, may apply directly for special management area use permit. Who processes these permits, these special management area permits? Well, the DPP, its director, David Tenoy, is the one who processes and approves and what have you. So they haven't been done, and the EIS, or the DEIS, is not complete. So how do you think they're going to meet the deadline? Now, from my understanding, the Chapter 25 and the status of the EIS, a negative declaration has not been filed, and the EIS has not been accepted. So the project cannot proceed or be processed concurrently with the SMA major permit. The EIS must be accepted and then published by the Office of Environmental Quality before the city can apply for the SMA permit. So you see all of these loops and hoops that they have to jump over, yet he's wanting to go and have let a contract, by the way, which sounds familiar to the earlier contract. And I'm trying to get through this so that you can go again at carolcox.com, and I've actually posted a full write-up of what I'm saying here to you. In addition, the fact that there is no completed final environmental assessment and no approved SMA permit, we believe that other problems associated with the project compliance with environmental laws. What are they complying with? And the rail project, see, it's still under the draft phase of the environmental impact statement. There are many deficiencies. And as I said to you, under Chapter 205A, Coastal Zone Management, Section 205A2, Objectives of the CZM Program, scenic resources must be identified in the CZM. This will be an elevated rail system, folks, reaching heights of 60 or more feet. And there's a potential to destroy that beautiful view as you drive. I know some of you say there's a lot of houses, but what's there now is there. And what is put up there after is going to be there for a while. Once the dozers start to crank up and building, you're going to catch hell trying to get it down, and probably won't. What view planes must be included in the analysis? Well, in reading this draft environmental impact statement, in my opinion, it inadequately addressed the view planes. And the SMA guideline states in there, the authority shall seek to minimize, where reasonable, any development which would substantially interfere with or detract from the line of sight toward the sea from the state highway nearest the coast, end quote. Now, you might think that the only views from the highway should then be studied and included in the... However, that's not the case. All of it should be. And the DPP hadn't addressed any of these. And so they're going to try, as best as I know, they don't have adequate staffing to address this. So are they going to reach out and hire contractors or hire people from Kiewit or other people from the mainland to come in and to help process the SMAs? But if you were to go there and ask questions right now, you probably will be out of luck to find any committed staff members or any team that could adequately address and prepare in a timely fashion to meet this deadline for the city council and for the start up the building in December or the late part of this year. I don't believe it can be done. So a lot of things have been done that have not been addressed. They pull the wool over your faces, your eyes, and now don't call me and tell me that there's going to be a lot of jobs. That's fine. You can, if that's your belief, that's good, and it will create jobs. But what it will also do is deface something that is beautiful. This is an island. When they come back with this nonsense about, well, in Seattle and in San Francisco and in wherever, they have it. But this is an island community. We wouldn't put a space shuttle runway in the middle of Kalihi, would we? But they have one in Florida. And I know that some of you are going to argue, but yes, the reef runway here at the Honolulu Airport is an emergency landing for the shuttle, so don't call me up and tell me that I'm being silly. But again, my point is, the administrative rules, Title 11, Department of Health, Chapter 200 of the EIS rules, Section 11212, significance criteria, it states, in most instances, an action shall be determined to have significant effect on the environment if substantially affects scenic vistas and viewplains identified in county or state plans or studies, end quote. One such county study, the Coastal View Study, prepared for the Department of Land Utilization in 1987. This isn't just Carol Cox sitting here moaning and groaning about something because he didn't get his way. This is law. Was undertaken to address the issues of, quote, preserving, maintaining, and where desirable, improving and restoring shorelines, open spaces, and scenic resources. So, what is HTA going to sell the tourists from abroad? A metal ring around the island? Noise and destroy the... We're already stressed. We're pushing the capacity, the carrying capacity of this island in every sense of the word. Traffic, resources, water, air, and all. And we add this... I don't know what you'd call it. You assign your own name to it. But the Coastal View Study, the scope of the Coastal View Study included an inventory of significant coastal views and coastal landforms, which together make up the shoreline scenic resources of Oahu. And the study includes views from public viewpoints and coastal roadways within the SMA. Again, the SMA. So what we have here is we're on a collision course. And a lot of you recall there was the super ferry. And a lot of you said, well, it's going to do good and carry, it's going to help the economy here. And I, too, like you, I believe we need a vehicle or mode of transportation to adequately serve these islands. And the super ferry, in my opinion, is not ruled out. But we have to look at it from an environmental impact statement and eliminate the problems that it poses, or potential problems, and then adjust that. But we didn't do that. So now we have this humongous rail that the mayor is proposing. Now, I'd like to ask you a question out there. We got two gentlemen sparring to become Mr. Hanneman and Mr. Abercrombie sparring to become the governor. Well, Hanneman hadn't declared, so, you know, he could call me up and says, well, you're just putting, claiming I'm doing... But I'm going to assume from his friends and his circle of friends that in the actions that they've done and some of the people that he's trying to recruit to campaign for him, I would say that he is in. So Mr. Abercrombie wants the rail too. But Mr. Abercrombie, we need to, and if his people are out there listening, I know he was on this show, on the station a while back, a couple of days, a week ago. I'd like to ask these questions. Tell us about the viewplanes. Tell us your opinion on the issues regarding the draft environmental impact statement. How can we be rushing to have a rail installed when we haven't met the environmental impact statement and the needs and the viewplanes and the SMAs and what have you? I would like to hear that. I don't want to hear that, yes, I agree, and we need it, and I got money for it. We need oversight, Mr. Abercrombie, and I would like to hear your opinion. That is what I would like to know. Give us something and some reasons to and aid us in deciding who we vote for and who we not vote for. But to merely tell us you got lots of money for the system and you agree with the rail, come forward and tell us about your opinion of the environmental impacts. And intervene and ask the federal agencies to conduct an investigation into the letting of the contracts early on. Don't just be silent and put your support behind it and then tell us you want to become the mayor, because now we have two choices to make. That is, do we vote for neither of you and get somebody just fresh who don't support the rail, who will hold their feet to the fire, and all of that? And, Mr. Hanneman, what about the alternatives, the analysis for the visual study? Requirement, the EIS requires it fully explore and analyze possible alternatives. And you've heard Panos Prevedoras and Cliff Slater talk about these things, and I'm trying to avoid, and there's so much more. But again, I'll ask this question. Should the accepting authority for the rail project be Mayor Hanneman? You see, because if it's a government problem, state problem, the governor accepts it. If it's a county problem, the mayor is accepted. So, basically, what Hanneman is, if I can say this, he is the shepherd now. He's going to lead us all to the rail, because it's in his hand now. And if you were to ask these questions, can we afford another EIS fiasco, super ferry? So that is the concern that I have. And I'm not going to hold you up much longer, but I will say go to carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and you can see the full write-up of that. And if any of you want more information and maybe this lawsuit that's coming, we can do that. Take care, and I'll see you next week. Aloha.
1, 2, 3.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.